망체여 외비차레나 박티요게나 세바테 사구난 사마티디아이탄 브라마 부야야 칼파테. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature. A well-known verse, Srila Prabhupada quoted it many times. What do we understand from this? Well, devotees are transcendental. Devotees are engaged in devotional service. Devotees are transcendental to the modes of material nature. Maybe. Burijan Prabhu relates in his book, My Glorious Master, very much recommended book, that the first question he ever asked to Srila Prabhupada was about this subject. Burijan Prabhu said, of course he wasn't initiated at the time, he said, Swamiji, in your lecture, you said that devotees were in the mode of goodness, but I thought that devotees were transcendental to the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, devotees are transcendental to the mode of goodness, but generally they act in the mode of goodness. So devotees are transcendental to the mode of goodness. Why should they act in the mode of goodness? Well, we know from Bhagavad Gita, from Srila Prabhupada's purport to chapter 18, text 60, if one refuses to act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, then he is compelled to act by the modes in which he is situated. Everyone is under the spell of a particular combination of the modes of nature. So yes, devotees are transcendental. We don't come under the control of the modes of material nature if we're engaged in devotional service. That's what the verse says. But at the same time, we are coming out from the situation of having been under the modes of material nature since time immemorial. What does this verse say? Mangchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. The word avyabhicharena is very important. One who is fully fixed in devotional service transcends the modes of material nature. That's a completely pure devotee. Those who have taken to devotional service come under the shelter of the divine energy, which is above the material energy. Mahatma nastu mang partha daivin prakriti maashritaha bhajantya nanya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Mahatmas, Krishna says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, are under the shelter of the divine energy. They worship Krishna with undeviated minds, knowing Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But most of us are in a marginal position. We're neither fully in transcendence, we're not worshipping Krishna with completely fixed mind, we're aiming for that. We are under the protection of the divine energy as soon as we make that commitment to the spiritual master, and to Krishna, Diksha Kale Bhakta Kare Atashamarpan, Shei Kale Krishna Tare Kare Atasham. At the time of initiation, one samarpan, fully offers oneself to Krishna. Well, do we really do that? As much as we do that, Krishna accepts us as one of his own, the principle, ye yata mang prabhadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. Krishna reciprocates with everyone according to how they approach him. So we're on the path. Some of us may have reached the goal. It's rare, but most of us are neither completely in the spiritual energy nor completely in the material energy. We're not completely controlled by the modes of material nature nor completely transcendental. But our devotional service is considered transcendental nevertheless by the mercy of the guru who offers our attempts at devotional service mixed up with our material conditioning. Through the disciplic succession, the guru offers our attempts to Krishna. So in this way, the devotee is transcendentally situated by sincerely serving his guru, but that doesn't mean that everything we do and say and think is transcendental. We may think that I'm transcendental to the modes of nature, but Srila Prabhupada said when discussing the need to implement varnashram dharma within the society of Vaishnavas, and the devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, well, I thought that a Vaishnava is transcendental to the modes of material nature, but Srila Prabhupada said that to be a Vaishnava is not such an easy thing. Otherwise, why are they falling down? In his purport to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 45, Srila Prabhupada says, as long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. We're in the material world. Our bodies are subject to the modes of nature. We can't avoid that. So there are actions and reactions of the body and mind. We have to tolerate that. That tolerance is part of transcending the modes of nature. But when we fully depend on Krishna, then we come to the fully transcendental position. We're tiny spirit souls. We're always controlled. We can choose to be controlled by Krishna, or we come under the control of Maya, the modes of material nature. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, while talking of the need to come to the transcendental position, he discusses a lot about the three modes of material nature. The mode of goodness is considerably better than the mode of passion, which is considerably better than the mode of ignorance. They all condition us in material life. If one is in the mode of goodness, one becomes conditioned to happiness. If one is in the mode of passion, we become conditioned to fruitive activities. And the mode of ignorance just covers one's knowledge and binds one to madness. So under the modes of material nature, we have, since time immemorial, been under the control, pulled around by goodness, passion, and ignorance. When we come to loving devotional service to Krishna, then we transcend, but again, we don't just start devotional service and become fully transcendental. All the three modes are binding, but the modes of passion and ignorance bind us very, very tightly. We have in Bhagavad Gita again, Krishna gives the example of how lust or material desire covers the pure nature of the soul. Dhumena vriyato vani. The fire is covered by smoke. Still, the fire is somewhat visible. That's like the mode of goodness. Then a mirror is covered by dust. You can't see the reflection, but it is not that difficult to clean it. But then the embryo in the womb, you can't see it at all. So that's like the mode of ignorance. So in this way, the mode of goodness is better. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam. From the mode of goodness comes knowledge. Whereas from the modes of passion and ignorance, we get intense desire, material desire, and foolishness respectively. And either way, our discrimination is lost. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam. Jnanam, knowledge, spiritual knowledge, a major factor of that is being able to discriminate between what we should do and what we should not do. Lord Krishna discusses this in Bhagavad Gita. He says that the understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Clearly, that kind of understanding is conducive for spiritual advancement. Whereas, in the mode of passion, the understanding is that which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done. This is a disaster for advancement in Krishna consciousness. And even worse, in the mode of ignorance, is that understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness and striving always in the wrong direction. It's a complete disaster. So we are performing devotional service by the mercy of the gurus. We are at least provisionally situated on the transcendental platform. But we bring with us our conditioning. And definitely passion is there. Ignorance is there. Even what happens is this whole pure process of devotional service becomes completely lost because of this kind of misunderstanding, not distinguishing properly between what is right, what is wrong, what is religion, what is irreligion. Therefore, Krishna says, in course of time, the whole process of devotional service becomes lost. Therefore, as long as we're not fully situated on the transcendental platform, we should tend to act and think more toward the mode of goodness than the lower modes. In other words, we should tend to live simply. We should cultivate the qualities of being detached from the results. Now, we may not live simply. In Krishna's service, we may have all kinds of facilities. We should be detached from the fruits of the action. This is very subtle and internal, cultivating these qualities. We may live in opulence, but we should not be attached to it. In the mode of goodness, one is not attached to any opulent dwelling. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he had, by 1977, he had opulent quarters in centers all over the world, comfortable facilities, but he very happily spent, how long? 2 weeks in Bhuvaneshwar, in a mud hut, on the land which was donated for the development of an ISKCON temple there. So he wasn't attached. Whatever Krishna gave him, he accepted. He wasn't in the mode of passion. He set the example, not being in the mode of passion, that, well, I have to have all this facility, otherwise I can't do my devotional service. So we should know what are the symptoms of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and guard against being infected by the lower modes. Of course, we don't want to just be in the mode of goodness, because that's also one kind of maya. But at the same time, we should know that the influence of passion and ignorance is very detrimental. And therefore, as long as we are in the clearing stage of devotional service, we should tend toward the mode of goodness. Again, all these things, eating simply, living simply, dealing with others in a simple manner, not becoming very, very complex. We can understand from Bhagavad Gita what happens. What are the symptoms of the mode of passion? Tremendous attachment to material objects, material name, fame, prestige. This is very detrimental for spiritual life. Fruitive activity, undertaking activities for my personal enjoyment, intense endeavor to fructify those desires for developing. This can come into devotional service. We think we're doing it for Krishna. I want to build a big building, but it can be also to show off to others. Uncontrolled desire and hankering, yeah? It's very, very dangerous. Maya is always there. Even sannyasi can fall victim to sensual desires. In the mode of passion, one is never satisfied with one's position. One always wants more and more and more. In devotional service, it can be also, I've got this title, that title, I want to be recognized. I need more zone, more area, more name and fame. Family attachment. In the mode of passion, of course, we don't recommend being artificially detached. A devotee also, as long as we're in this world, especially those who are married, we have family responsibilities. But this defining one's existence in terms of one's family position, and then the mode of passion, greed, performance of devotional service to get respect and honor, and also in the mode of passion, the tendency to agitate the mind in speculative ways and bring up different speculative philosophies and ideas. In the mode of ignorance, capriciousness, just do things just because you feel like it with no particular reason, very bad for spiritual life. No proper focus, laziness, just don't want to act, foolishness, madness. When we see there's depression or mental illness, it's also a symptom of the mode of ignorance. Misery, wallowing in misery, just always miserable, and just can't get into devotional service, always feeling distressed. Tendency toward intoxication, not uncommon. Very, very detrimental, extremely detrimental to spiritual advancement. Being in illusion, excessive sleep, degradation, again, laziness, and then not making the endeavor for activities which are meant for spiritual welfare. Just not doing it. You know what you should do, but you just don't do it. You just can't be bothered. And then again, lack of discrimination, not considering what I do, how will it affect my advancement in devotional service. So the modes of passion and ignorance, they are various stages of madness, and goodness gives some steadiness of mind, which is helpful for us to come to the fully transcendental stage. It's a springboard. If we can go directly from passion and ignorance, that's possible by the mercy of Krishna. But generally, we're on the path of sadhana. We have to go step by step, purification. Purification means purification from the modes of nature. In devotional service, we have to have some verve, some passion for it. That's a fact. But we should distinguish, we should introspect and see, am I doing this for Krishna? Or am I dovetailing my youthful energy and my zest and my desire to be recognized, which are all qualities of the mode of passion? We may need to do that. We're so much in the mode of passion that we just can't sit quietly and chant. Srila Prabhupada saw that in his disciples, and he engaged them in so many busy activities. And Srila Prabhupada offered that all to Krishna. So it's not that we should be inert. The mode of goodness doesn't mean necessarily just sitting doing nothing. But we should see what is our motivation. Otherwise, we may be doing big things in devotional service, but as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example, we may be watering the weeds in our heart, desire for recognition, or we do devotional service, we do book distribution, we do it as long as it's going big and it's going great, I like to do it, but when it gets tough, forget it. That means we're not actually doing it for Krishna's pleasure. So, in the mode of goodness, knowledge, discrimination, we can discriminate between the weeds of karma and jnana, which can choke the true creeper of devotional service. Strictly practicing the rules and regulations, vaidhi bhakti, sadhana bhakti, will help to bring out the good qualities inherent in the soul. They will develop. But if we allow the weeds of maya to grow along with our devotional service, then the bhakti lata becomes choked and cannot grow properly. So these weeds of the bhakti lata, they particularly come out by the conditionings of passion and ignorance. It can be by goodness also. We may think that, well, I only like to do devotional service in a very nice, peaceful, rural atmosphere. We should be ready to do anything for Krishna. That's a fact. So we have to be careful not to be trapped in the mode of goodness. But we do see that the tendencies towards passion and ignorance are much more common and much more strong. Srila Prabhupada states in his purport to Gita, chapter 14, text 15, one should be serious about his human life and take to the mode of goodness. Not me saying it, it's Prabhupada saying it. Take to the mode of goodness and in good association transcend the modes and become situated in Krishna consciousness. That is the aim of human life. So we should understand that these lower modes, it may be hard to just throw them off immediately. We can dovetail our passion in Krishna's service, but at the same time, we have to study Gita, understand that the mode of passion in and of itself is detrimental. Krishna always directs his pure devotee. Krishna is always helping us. But this maya, which manifests as desire, hoya maya das kari nana abhilash. When we become a servant of maya, we have so many desires. So we may be pulled away again. Or that's the mode of passion, intense desire. We may just flip and say, blah, 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 now I have to go and enjoy. Or we may just sink down into the dullness and foolishness of the modes of ignorance. The process of sadhana bhakti is very helpful. The rules, rising early, taking only prasad offered to Krishna. In a mode of goodness, we don't snack in between meals. We just take prasad at fixed times. And then again, also not eating, packing the belly, maybe in the beginning. But at some point, we have to become sadhus. More in the mode of goodness. Sadhus aren't expected to be raucous, wild, untamed in the name of being transcendental. So the general norm is that a sadhu is in the mode of goodness and going up to transcendence. So instead of thinking that the mode of goodness is just maya, devotees can accept it as a platform to go up to transcendence. We should prefer the situation of goodness rather than passion and ignorance. And there are so many examples. Goodness, we keep everything neat and clean and tidy. In the mode of passion, we may just throw things here and there. In the mode of ignorance, we never clean anything up. Therefore, as Prabhupada said at 26 Second Avenue, when Burijan Prabhu asked him, devotees generally act in the mode of goodness. The purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 19, confirms that the mode of goodness is the general consciousness of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada writes, "The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of the effects of passion and ignorance." It's not that the contaminations of passion and ignorance completely disqualify us from rendering devotional service. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a hope. It's not that we have to come to the mode of goodness first and then take up devotional service. But the gurus and the senior devotees engage us in such a way that we can gradually become purified and elevated. Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 24, states that of the modes, goodness is the best, because by the mode of goodness, one can come to realize the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse, "As explained above, one can get released from the conditioned life of material existence by devotional service to the personality of Godhead. It is further comprehended herein that one has to rise to the platform of the mode of goodness, sattva, so that one can be eligible for the devotional service of the Lord. But if there are no impediments on the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, can gradually rise to the sattva platform by the expert direction of the spiritual master. Traditionally, disciples would be accepted only in the mode of goodness. It's a great mercy of Kali Yuga that if we have to accept, or if only persons in the mode of goodness are accepted into devotional service, there won't be anyone, hardly at all. So we can be elevated, but we shouldn't think, well, I'm transcendental, I'm a devotee, there's no need for me to think about goodness, I'm already there. Instead, we should understand that cultivating the mode of goodness is the general consciousness in which we serve. And again, we have to get out the door, we have to push, we have to get things done. It may seem like the mode of passion, but it is the underlying detachment and not doing it for our own sake that makes it transcendental. And that detachment and not acting for our own sense enjoyment, which is there in pure Krishna consciousness, transcendental, and it's there in a preliminary stage in the mode of goodness. So cultivate pure devotional service, tending toward the mode of goodness rather than the lower modes, by following the principles of sadhana bhakti, studying Bhagavatam Shrinvatang Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hiyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. By regularly hearing the messages of the Bhagavatam, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted, all the dirty things in the heart are cleansed out by Krishna. But we shouldn't think that we don't have to make our own effort also. We shouldn't think that the mode of goodness is to be eschewed. In Gita, chapter 18, text 10, Krishna says, the intelligent renouncer situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. So, for what does this mean? Translate this into Krishna consciousness. We can do anything for Krishna. This was in the context of Arjuna having to kill for Krishna. So we can do anything for Krishna, and we have no doubts. We're clear what we're doing. That doesn't mean that we're arrogant and we think, I know everything, but that we are vyavasayatmika buddhihi, of fixed intelligence. And again, we have to be careful not to be focused on the mode of goodness for its own sake. And then we become conditioned by it, limited by it. We should always keep in mind that simply to be good, nice, pleasant, a brahmana, or anything other than a pure servant of Krishna is not what we're aiming at. In the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says that you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette, or by vast learning. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. The Bhagavad Gita also warns us that we become conditioned by happiness in the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, we feel peaceful. If we're cultivating the mode of goodness without Krishna consciousness, then we feel very peaceful. Happiness comes from that. We can also become proud, thinking that, yes, I'm in the mode of goodness, I'm so much better than all these devotees jumping around in the mode of passion. Or we can become complacent, just taking to Krishna consciousness as a kind of intellectual activity and saying, yes, I know, I understand, now I am studying, yes, I'm a real brahmana. So at the same time that we are cultivating Krishna consciousness, we should know that it's far more difficult to do if we remain stuck in the modes of passion and ignorance. And we should study what Krishna has given us, so much instruction in Bhagavad Gita of the nature of the mode of goodness, and aspire for that, and not take the mode of goodness as an end in itself, but as a better platform on which to practice devotional service. In the next talk, Krishna willing, I'll discuss more about what are the actual qualities of the mode of goodness. I've spoken a lot about it. It's presumed that devotees have a general idea about it, but I'll discuss it more, Krishna willing. And my thanks to Burijan Prabhu. This talk is modeled around an essay which he wrote in this regard. Vancha kalpa tarubhya chakripa sindhubhya vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.